Well, good afternoon, PBC family. Good to be with you again. I've taken a little break from the weekly devotionals, and now we are back on track for those. So you can expect to see one of those each week, and we're going to dive in with a brief one starting out this week, followed by a few announcements. So make sure you stick around so you can see the announcements. So let's get started. So what are some of the things you tell yourself? What are things you remind yourself? Maybe it's to speak up. Maybe it's to put on a smile. You know, if we're honest, we all remind ourselves of different things. And one of the most important things we can remind ourselves is the gospel. I have been discipling a few of the youth boys, and we have been going through a book called Note to Self. And this is a very helpful book that reminds us of the importance of the gospel in our everyday lives. So I wanted to discuss a few of these helpful thoughts with us by way of reminder so we can continually be preaching the gospel to ourselves as well. You know, the temptation is to see the gospel as this one-time thing that we heard in the past in order for us to be right with God. And then we just go on living our everyday lives. We can be tempted to see the gospel merely as fire insurance. But for the believers, we should see the gospel as so much more than that. For those who've been studying biblical counseling with us, you know this is as well. The gospel is the power to transform. You know, we see in Scripture certain commands God gives us in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. So since this is God's will for us, this is what we should be pursuing. And we do so by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But it comes by remembering the work of Christ, what he has done, remembering the gospel so we can grow more and more into his image. It's the gospel that is not merely fire insurance to prevent you from going to hell, but it is the very message we need to be reminding ourselves in our everyday lives. Let's see just some of this in Scripture. You know, the psalmist did this. Psalm 42:5, when he was faced with some hard trials, maybe he was down and sad, he said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" So he's preaching to himself. He's preaching to his soul. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation." So here's a psalmist. He's in trouble. He's sad. And he's going through hard things in life. And he has a bad outlook on life right now. And so he preaches to himself. He reminds himself of the gospel. He reminds himself of the salvation that he has in God. You know, Paul does this in Romans 8. And he's trying to help convince us of what God has for us. So he says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're afraid of what might happen. Maybe you're worried about certain things. Paul says, "What shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son," there's the gospel, "but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who can bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies." This is what it means to live by faith. It is living by reminding yourselves of the gospel, by letting the Holy Spirit sanctify you as you remember the gospel. That's what it means to fix your eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, we're so easily tempted to live by fear. We're so easily tempted to live by doubt or by worry. But this is what it means to live by faith. We need a daily dose of gospel. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves. Also, especially when maybe we fall in sin. When we fall, the temptation could be to beat ourselves up, to not let go of the past, to hold on to all the bad things we've done and feel ourselves as unworthy. Sometimes we can let the guilt just paralyze us. We can feel as if we have to feel bad for a certain amount of time. We have to feel sorry enough before we can come back and be right with God, before we can be acceptable before God in his presence. When we think that way, we have forgotten the gospel. We have forgotten what Christ has done, that he has paid for our sins, past, present, and future, and we have direct access to God. Joe Thorne, in his book, said it this way. He says, "Look, the memory of your sins is not cause to beat yourself up and wallow in guilt. Instead, it should lead you to rejoice in the redemption you have in Jesus. So you will, and should, remember your sins, but not be plagued by them. As a Christian, you must see them in light of the cross. You need to remember your sins for what they are: lawless, that steamed from a heart that hated God. It was just what you did, he says. It was what you were. And in remembering these sins, you hold fast to Jesus. This remembrance does not encourage you to shrink back from God, but to draw near all the more, seeking him because of the hope of the gospel. When you remember your sins, you learn humility, you love Jesus, and make much of the gospel. So reminding yourselves what Christ has done for you. He fully atoned for your sins on the cross. There's no more penance you have to do, as if you have to do that in order to feel worthy to come to his presence again. Christ has fully paid for your sins, and so you should have all the confidence, while confessing and repenting from your sins, have all the confidence to come to him. The psalmist says in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So one who is preaching the gospel to themselves, and even in the midst of a fall, confesses their sins, remembers the gospel, and then strives to live out of thankfulness and gratitude and obedience to God. Remembering that God has forgiven you in Christ, past, present, and future, helps us to see that Jesus has fully already paid for your sins, and you can approach God. There's nothing additional you have to do. There's no more penance. There's no more extra feeling sorry for yourself before you can feel worthy to come before God. Also, remembering the gospel helps you cherish Christ and fight sin. As you cherish what Christ has done, that he lived a perfect life for you, that he obeyed the law perfectly, and that was what God required of you. And as you remember that, and as you remember that you should have died for your sins, the wages of sin is death, as you remember that for all eternity you would have to pay for your sins if it wasn't for Christ. And so Christ paid for your sins by going to the cross and dying a gruesome death. And as you remember that, you cherish Christ all the more, and it helps you fight sin. Because the more and more you cherish Christ, the more and more you will hate sin. That is why John Owen wrote a book called The Glory of Christ. And in that, he is arguing that the more and more you see the glory of Christ, the less and less you will see the luring of your sin. Also, remembering the gospel helps us to be thankful. As we remember what Christ has done, as we realize that we were dead in our trespasses and sin, yet he made us alive with Christ, we can look at ourselves and be like, why in the world would God choose me? Why would he do that? It's not as a way to boast and be prideful, but it's merely to be thankful and humble. When you're humble and you realize what Christ has done for you, it's going to stir up thankfulness. Also, remembering the gospel helps us to love others. We read the verse, he first loved us, so then we can love others, right? And so Joe Thorne says this in the book. He says, love is something beyond your ability as well. Yet the command remains. The reality is that you only love God because he loved you first. He loved you before you were born. He chose you for himself. His love for you secured your salvation. And because you have experienced his life, redeeming love, you love him in return. But for love to continue and to grow, and for you to love the unlovable, it is important that you meditate on the gospel. He says, get this, you only know what love really is by looking to your Savior. And we learn it from him continually, not just once. You must go daily to the cross to see your Savior's love for the unlovable. That means you. You must learn, relearn, and remember your Savior's love. And when you see the Holy One's sacrificial love for you, you not only see what love looks like, but you also find strength and power to love like him. So because we've experienced the great love, because he loved us while we were unlovely, we can love others in return, not expecting anything in return, not loving them because they deserved it, but because they were unworthy. We can love like Christ loved. That's the only way we can have that kind of strength to love like Christ, is look to him, remember the gospel, remember how he has loved you. So are you preaching the gospel to yourself? I hope now that this would stir up a passion and a motivation to want to proclaim the gospel to yourself, to remind yourself of these things, kind of like the sticky notes I've been telling some of these youth. It's like sticky notes that you look at quickly and you remind yourself of these things, and it's like you calibrate your mind again on the things of Christ rather than the things that are happening in this world. So that is our devotional for this week. I hope it is a blessing to you, and it's good to get back into these devotionals. I hope you look forward to next time. I have quite a few planned now, and we are going to have that from here on out for the next foreseeable future.